Everybody say amen. Good to bring a Bible to a Bible prophecy conference. This is my Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to mind the Lord this morning. I'm slow this morning and just tired from the conference, but I've heard some really, really good things this week and appreciate all the speakers because we all come from different backgrounds, different ways of looking. God has everybody in a different ministry, and I'll probably talk a little bit about that this morning, and I'm just kind of, in my mind, I'm trying to work out what all I'm going to say, try to stick with the program, what they asked me I was going to talk about, so I'm going to mind that, but I'm also going to mind the Lord too, and just kind of help you with some things that God has helped me with over the years. I didn't wake up one day when I was 5 years old and was instantaneously smart. It takes years. It takes God teaching you something new all the time. This is why we come to things like this, so that we can all learn from one another. And there has even been people here at this conference this year, last year, year before last, that I have learned some things from, just from the people in the pews. And I really, really, really appreciate that. If you know me, you know that if I stick with the Bible as much as I possibly can. If it's in the Bible, it's real and it's true. And if you can't find it in the Bible, then I don't. There's people ask me, well, how come you don't talk about this? Or how come you don't talk about that? And I'm going, I don't see it in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, I really can't discuss it, can't talk about it. But I like to learn things. I like to learn, especially about my body. The older I get, when I was in my 20s, I could ignore my body and just expect it to do what I needed it to do. Back then, those days, I used to crawl through attics in houses and blow insulation. I can't do that anymore. I don't fit. My body doesn't work that well anymore. So I became interested in how this body works. Not necessarily so I could find some cure or make it work better or whatever, but I'm just in awe of how God made us. David said in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he goes into talking about the DNA. 3,000 years ago, here is a shepherd boy who becomes king, and he's writing, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And he was describing DNA before anybody knew what it was, but that's what he was doing. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to talk about you guys this morning. But I'm going to talk about how things work and why I believe what I believe. Chris Pinto has been doing an outstanding job telling us that these other Bibles and these scholars and these professors who stand behind the pulpits who are having, Tim, that conference that you talked about where they're charging $60, $40 for the old people, they are going to be in contact with familiar spirits at that conference. They're going to be in contact with a spirit that will lead them away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ instead of leading them to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what's going on in the churches, and that's why this conference will not be attended by those people, because they hate this book. They hate it. Do you believe there are people in our government right now that we have voted for that hate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. Does anybody here think that we need to alter or change any of the words of the Bill of Rights? Okay? You think we ought to be able to keep our guns loaded? Sticking out the windows? Amen? Yeah, if necessary, okay? I think we ought to leave that alone, and I don't think any judge or any president or any congressman has any right to alter what amounted to a contract between the government of the United States and the people of the United States, and that's what the Constitution is. It is a covenant that limits them, and it limits us. That's what the Bible is. It is a contract between God, the old covenant. Remember what the old covenant was? God gave them 10 commandments and said, if you perform these, then I will give you the land and let you stay there. That didn't work. It still doesn't work. God never intended for it to work for all of eternity. So he promised that a new covenant would be given to us, not the renewed Mount Sinai covenant, but a new covenant with better promises from a better mediator, with better blood and better words and better life for all of eternity. Somebody say amen. And I don't think that the contract, the covenant that God made with me, I don't want anybody changing it.
Amen.
I don't want anybody doing that. If you have a parcel of land, you have a deed to that parcel of land, and every square inch of your land is recorded on that deed. You might have a copy of it in a lockbox at your house or at the bank, but there is a copy of it at the Department of Records or the license office in your county or whatever, and they hold that for as long as they exist. They hold that copy. If somebody comes in and says, we want your deed because we want to change some things on your deed, but don't worry, it will be better for you. Would you trust that? What if they said, well, what we want to do is we want to change the wording on the deed so you can understand it better. Don't do it. Lawyers speak the way lawyers speak for a reason, because they have great big books called Black's Law Dictionary that explains what every word in legalese means right down to the very last letter and period at the end of the sentence. And they operate that way, and that's a good thing. And this Bible is a perfectly accurate record of everything in the universe, how you were made, how we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to conduct our lives, and the contract between us and God. So the other day I mentioned the difference between the word was God and the word was a God. When you add that one letter, when you alter it, you have changed the doctrine of the entire Bible concerning who Jesus Christ is by changing one letter. So I want to show you something that God showed me a couple years ago. This helped me immensely. Up on the screen is a picture of what I used to eat. Diet soda, because I've had diabetes now for about 2 or 3 years, okay? Diet soda, fried chicken, Blue Bunny ice cream, cornbread and beans. Oh, come on. You're not too north for that. Okay? I was asking for grits over at the Village Inn, and they were going, yeah, grits. I love grits. Great big juicy full of fat and flavor hamburgers. Okay? This is not your body. It's mine. I used to abuse it that way. I can't do it anymore. So let me ask you a question, okay? And I learned about this. My body needs insulin. Now, my dad was a brittle diabetic, and he had to take 3 shots a day to keep himself alive. He had to take a large amount of insulin every day in order to keep himself alive. Fortunately, I don't have that yet. But remember the other day when I was showing you the cells and how sugar has to get into the cell? It's like them bringing a lamb to the tabernacle, and there's priests that stand at the door, and they take the lamb and they take it inside the tabernacle so it could be put on the altar. That's the mitochondria, which burns the sugar in your cell. Okay? My problem is, my body still makes insulin, but I have two problems. Number one, it doesn't make enough insulin. So I have Levite priests that are there in my body, but there's not enough of them. That's the first problem. Second problem is they stand at the door of the tabernacle and they're really lazy. Okay? And all of this sacrifices starts getting heaped up. That's why my blood sugar rises. All of this sacrifice starts getting heaped up, and the priest won't do what they're supposed to do, that is take it inside the tabernacle for it to be burnt. Okay? So that's my problem. Here's my question. Diet soda, fried chicken, Blue Bunny ice cream, cornbread and beans, big, thick, juicy hamburgers. Which one of those food items that I eat has insulin in it? Does anybody know? None of them. In fact, you can list off the things that you eat on a regular basis, every day. And not one of those food items will have insulin in it. So how does, and everybody here has to have insulin in their body, because if you do not have insulin working in your body, you will die. Your blood sugar will get up 400, 500, maybe 600. You will go into a coma and you will die. And I was getting close when I found out I had diabetes. Okay? So you will die. Your body needs to make this one little, I guess it's a hormone or whatever, your body has to produce this thing or you will die. You have to have it every day or you will die. So the question is, where do you get insulin? How is it, where does it come from? Well, technically, yes, when you eat things, you're putting things in your body, protein. I'm on a high protein diet. I need a lot of protein. So you are taking protein in your body, and your body is going to break all of that down, and it's going to take it and break it all apart, and then it's going to remanufacture what it is you need, including insulin. So here's the question. Where does insulin come from? Well, insulin is actually in the book. The book of DNA has a recipe, a blueprint, manufacturer's guidelines for how insulin can be made and manufactured by my body simply by the things that are in my body. You could call it living off the land. Instead of us going to Walmart to buy all of our food, we just grow our own food and live off our land. Our forefathers used to do it that way. We don't do it that way anymore. But you could call it living off the land. So here's the question. How then does DNA in my body produce the much needed thing that you need called insulin? How does it do that? Well, let me ask the question this way. How does your Bible, scripture verses, make a saint? How does the Bible turn a sinner and break you all to pieces? Remember the stone that Jesus is? He comes down and he crushes you and grinds you to powder. You fall on him and you're broken into pieces. So how does the Bible make a saint? How does that work? There's a process. It's called DNA transcription. You might want to write that down. Okay? The word transcription has the word script in it. You see that? See the word script? That's the word scripture. Or that is a prescription. Your doctor gives you writing on a paper and says, give him this medicine. So the word script there is, and tran means going from one piece of paper to another piece of paper. So what I did here on the screen was, I took a verse out of my Bible, and I used copy and paste on my computer, and I took a verse out of my Bible, and I transcribed it to this PowerPoint slide, and I promise you, the verse that you see up on the screen is letter for letter, word for word, exactly how you'll find it in your King James Bible. Okay? If I made a mistake transcribing that word or those words from the Bible to the PowerPoint slide, does anybody have a problem with that? You should. Because if I said, Jesus, the Word is God, we all say amen. If I say, the Word was a God, you don't ever invite me up to Fargo ever again, because you'll say, Tim Rubis, Mike Hawkins is a heretic. He believes that Jesus is a little God, and that's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and so don't have me back. Does everybody follow me so far? When the king, when God said, when you get in the land and you're going to have a king, I want you to give him a copy of the book of the law, and I want him to write his own copy of the book. I think Barack Obama should have to write the Constitution 100 times for punishment. Okay? Watch this. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. We don't want him to be president for another 8 years. However, if he said, I promise I'm going to stick with the Constitution and I'm going to restore America back to its greatness because of the Bill of Rights. If he said it and meant it, we would say, boy, we wish we had another guy like him, but we don't. Okay? You see how important this is. Okay? So DNA transcription. Here's what happens. Your DNA is rolled up like a scroll. So the scroll then gets unrolled. And it's unzipped, it's rightly divided, and a strand of it called RNA, it's also called messenger RNA. The word messenger is where we get the word angel from. Angels are messengers. I want you to think of it that way, okay? Jesus, I think, was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He is the one who brings the word to us down from heaven, just like Moses brought. When Moses comes down from heaven with the Ten Commandments, can Moses augment or change those commandments as he's coming down and give different commandments to the people of Israel? No, he cannot. He's not allowed to. They're written in stone for a reason. So anyway, so in DNA transcription, what happens is that it's unrolled. And there is a machine in your body called RNA polymerase. You don't have to remember that, but just remember there's a machine in your body that does nothing but what scribes did back in the Old Testament days. Ezra was the faithful scribe before the Lord. You know what that means? That means that what he saw on the paper, he wrote down exactly letter for letter, word for word, what was on that paper. He did not feel like he had a right to change any of the letters or any of the words, so that, and this is what's amazing, the copies that we have of the Old Testament are as intact as the day that they were first written. There is really no argument. Chris talks about this, about the New Testament. There's no argument about the Old Testament words, because faithful scribes transcribed from one piece of paper to another piece of paper, and those have been preserved. So in your body, there's a process called transcription where the DNA is divided, and then the RNA polymerase takes and it makes an exact copy of the genetic code that's in that, and it's going to use that for something. So who in here had a grandma that gave you a recipe for something that she made that you just absolutely love? Who in here has got a grandma like that? Okay? Do you still make the recipe? Make it exactly the way she did. There's a reason for that. That's part of the process. Because remember, I need insulin. And if in the process of my body making insulin, in the process of transcription, if where it has an adenine amino acid or an A or a T or a C, if it has an A there and they transcribe it as a T or a C or a G, then my body will not make insulin. It may make poison. There's a limerick. Some of you guys might know this. Johnny was a chemist. A chemist he is no more. For what he thought was H2O was H2SO4. Sulfuric acid. He didn't do it right, did he? Okay, that's the process. Let me move through some of this because this is really awesome, but I don't have time for it. Okay, let's see here. Blah, da, da, da. I'm trying to explain this here. Oh, but I wanted to jump up and shout this last night. Okay, remember where the Bible says all flesh is grass? The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Okay, all flesh is grass. Chris Pinto mentioned this. When, in the old days, when they were writing out the Word of God, they wrote it on two substances. One was called papyrus. It's where we get the word paper from. And papyrus was made out of these long reeds that grew in the marshes. And these reeds had layers to them. And what they would do is they'd pull them up out of the ground, and they would snip them off, and then they would splice and separate the layers. And then they would weave the layers together to form papyrus, and they would lay it out in the sun, and it would dry. Or they took what was called vellum, which is animal skin, very thin animal skin, and they would write the word of God. Isaiah would write what he wrote. Ezekiel would write what he wrote, and he wrote it either on papyrus or animal skin. Now remember, this verse says, all flesh is grass. Flesh is vellum. Papyrus is a grass. So they originally wrote the Word of God either on grass or flesh. What happens to grass? What happens to flesh? What happened to your great-grandfather? He's gone, and everything that was in his mind is gone. The grandmother that gave you the recipe, she's gone. You'll never get her back. But what she did was leave behind for you a copy of her recipe so that you can eat that, because when you eat it, it brings back memories of grandma, doesn't it? See, that recipe is precious simply because this is what my grandma made. Does that make sense to everybody? The Word of God is supposed to be precious to us. Amen? Okay, so here's what's interesting. All of the scholars are saying we don't really have the Word of God because the papyrus and the vellum that they wrote them on is all tattered and torn and pieces missing, and we think we've got words missing out of the Bible, so therefore we don't really have the perfect Word of God. Let me tell you what it sounds like on your church's faith statement. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God and the perfection of the Word of God in the original manuscripts. That's what most faith statements say. That sounds real spiritual, but the truth of it is that is not what your Bible says. Because God knew, God said in this verse that the grass and the flesh would wither. The flower would fade. God knew that the manuscripts would wither away and turn to dust. But God said, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God put it in His Word that as one copy was made, it would be a faithful copy of the original. And God said it doesn't matter if the grass that we wrote it on fades away. The Word of our God will stand forever. Doesn't matter how many copies die off. Doesn't matter that we don't have the original manuscripts. I guarantee you by the Word of the Lord that you have the exact words that God wrote 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Amen.
Why? Transcription. They faithfully copied every letter and every word. And then when this manuscript got old and tattered, somebody wrote out a new copy of it so that it could be preserved. That's what's going on in your body right now. So how does the old tattered ones become the newer codexes, the newer things? By transcription. Ezra was already scribed in the Lord. Colossians 4, Paul said, cause that this letter to the epistles to be read in the church of Laodiceans, and ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So what happened in the early church? Faithful men took the copy of the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians and made a transcription of that letter and sent it to Laodicea. Somebody in Laodicea made an exact copy of the letter that Paul wrote to Laodicea and sent it to the church of Colossians. And that's how come we have 5,000, over 5,000 faithful manuscripts of the New Testament that nobody wants to use anymore. They want to go to the Westcott and Hort Bibles. They want to go to the Sinaiticus, which I found the book that Pinto mentioned yesterday about the forgery of the Sinaiticus. It's on books.google.com. Get it. It's a free download. I've got it on my iPad. I'm going to read it on the plane going home because I think the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus are forgeries. I do not think that they are the faithful, scribed, transcripted Word of God. So I want you to understand this. If in the process of my body transcribing a portion of my DNA to make insulin, if there are errors that go into that, will my body make the right thing? It'll make something that more than likely will kill me. There was a case in our county where a woman was arrested, thrown in jail, given a life sentence because her toddler child had what amounted to ethyl alcohol in its system, which is antifreeze. They arrested her, tried her, and convicted her that she deliberately poisoned her child with antifreeze and killed it. Before she went to prison, she was pregnant. She delivered another child while she's in prison. The child has one or two visits with her in prison. All of a sudden, this child gets sick and is near death, and they find the same amount or the same chemical in that child's body, ethyl alcohol. They said she somehow gave that baby antifreeze and was trying to kill it. This woman's crazy. Another lawyer got involved. They made a movie about this. Another lawyer got involved and said they found what amounted to a tablespoon of ethyl alcohol in this baby's blood. In order for that baby to have had that much left over in its body because of the half-life, the breakdown of the body, she would have had to have given it 30 gallons of antifreeze in an hour visit. They said there's no way she did that. You know what they found? That the child's genetic structure, both of them, had an error that when they transcribed something that was supposed to make something to make those children live, it made poison in their body. She's free. She sued the lab that botched the test. She's got a lot of money, I'll just tell you that. Okay? Here's my point. It's the book that makes the body and makes it live. And if the book is not transcribed right, if the words don't get from one place to another correctly, it doesn't make life. It creates death. Do you believe that? Tim, I'm glad God laid it on your heart. So if this is not transcribed right, there will be no insulin. Okay? So now that we have a copy, of the book, of the exact formula to make grandma's recipe or to make insulin in my body, what you see up on the screen here is the insulin chemical in my body. So I have a copy of it on paper in my DNA. I have a messenger, like an angel RNA, that has the formula for making insulin. But how does that happen? How is it that a guy writes out a set of blueprints for a nice 40-story building with everything that's in it? How is it that those blueprints turn into the building? Okay? How does that work? That's a different process. So how does... Who in here reads Greek? Who in here knows all the Hebrew letters and can understand reading a Hebrew Bible? Who in here? Raise your hand if you can do that. So if I had three people in this building this morning, and one stood up and spoke fluent Old Testament Hebrew, and they were quoting from, let's say, Psalm 22, nobody would understand it. If another person stood up and in Aramaic spoke Psalm 22, nobody in this room would understand it. If someone stood up and they were quoting the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus was quoting from Psalm 22 in Greek, would anybody here understand it? What I just gave to you was 1 Corinthians 14. The rules for speaking in an unknown tongue. Who in here can read DNA? It's a book. We don't know the language. We don't know how the letters of A, T, C, and G make the 22 amino acids that make the words of our genetic structure. So if I had three people, one quoting Hebrew, one quoting Aramaic, one quoting Greek, in this room, how many of us would be blessed by that? Oh, that's impressive. But we got nothing out of it. So according to the rules, according to God's rules, the three unknown tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, one had to do what? Translate it. Let one interpret. Okay? So watch this. How does a Hebrew and Aramaic, because that's what the Old Testament was written in, how does a Hebrew and Aramaic book, and then how does a Greek book benefit me who doesn't want to die and go to hell? How does a Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek unknown languages, how does that make me a born-again, Bible-believing, Son of God Christian. How does that work? It has to be, and this is the second process in your DNA. The first process is transcription. If it's not transcribed right, if the scribes made an error, then the body will create poison. The second part, believe it or not, is called RNA or DNA translation. Remember, the book that's in your body matches this book right here. The DNA has to be transcribed correctly. A perfect copy has to be made. And then secondly, that copy must be translated, which means taken from one form into another. The Bible uses the term translation when it describes what happened to Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. He was translated from the form that he was in this world to the form that he has in heaven without seeing death. That's what's going to happen to all of us. We're going to be translated from here to there, which means we are going to take, according to the book, a different form. That's what translation is. So in my body, I have, and I have these machines working nonstop, and they're doing it right now. I have RNA or DNA polymerase constantly going up the strands of my DNA, making copies of it, so that another machine, what is it called? I can't remember what it's called. There's another machine that then takes that copy and translates it. How does the Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic become the saint? It must have an interpreter. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. That's what, when you read, when Jesus on the cross, him saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, we don't know what that means, except our Bible, Luke said, this is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you and I know that that was Psalm 22, where it prophesied, they pierced my hands and feet, they parted my garments, cast lots for my vesture, they circled me like bulls, and they mocked me, and we know that that was a fulfillment of Christ on the cross. The people, the Jews standing at the foot of the cross, said, what is he saying? Oh, he's calling for Elijah. No, he wasn't. They didn't have the interpretation of what Jesus said. You and I do. We know it, don't we? We know. What does Talita Kumi mean? Talita Kumi. Damsel arise. How do I know that? Because it says in my Bible, which is being interpreted, damsel arise. What does Mene Mene Tikal Upharsin mean? King Belshazzar had no clue what the writing on the wall said. He needed what? An interpreter. And he brought in all of his astrologers and Chaldeans, everybody that worked for his dad. And they said, we have no idea what this says. They brought in Daniel. Daniel says, I'm going to interpret it for you. Your problem is you're not going to like it. And I suspect, Chris Pinto, that the Bible is actually interpreted, translated correctly. It's just that too many churches don't like how it was translated. So they rejected it because it spells out something bad for them. So watch this. How does then the recipe for the best angel food cake or the best chili my grandmother made cornbread stuffing for Thanksgiving and Christmas? And it was the best ever. So my mom now has the recipe and she makes it. And I'd die for it. So how does the recipe for insulin actually become insulin? It takes an interpreter. And grandma was the interpreter. Because those of you who got the recipe from grandma, did you not also watch how she did it? Right? Because she stirred it this way, or she added this at this exact point. You watched how she. I learned how to. I make really good gravy, by the way. And I watched my grandma do it, and I know how to do it. Everything of your DNA that's going to make what I need in my body needs an interpreter. And there is a mechanism in my body that takes the script of DNA that makes insulin to keep me alive, that knows how to take the instructions, and then it reaches over and grabs and it makes this protein. Then it reaches over and gets this part over here and adds it this way. And then it comes and grabs another protein and it puts it on and turns it this way. And when it's all done, I now have insulin flowing through my body to make sure that my sugar gets put into the cells so that I don't die. Does that make sense to everybody? And after all, do not interpretations belong to God? So it's three doctrines that I absolutely believe and will die for. And they don't come from man. They don't come from Dean Bergen. And I know of him. They don't come from Gail Ripplinger. They don't come from some preacher. The three doctrines that I absolutely know about are the doctrine of the inspiration of the Scriptures. When Isaiah wrote, God was going, here, Jeremiah, take my words and put them in your mouth. So when Jeremiah wrote, he was writing the exact words of God in the original manuscripts. You believe that? Say amen. Number two, forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. The heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So I believe that the correct transcriptions of the Scriptures over the years, either by the priesthood of the Old Testament, of the Levite, or the priesthood of the believer, I believe that every copy of the Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek manuscripts were transcripted correctly. So does Dr. Mustang back here, okay? You're not Chris Pinto, you're Chris Mustang. Okay? The third thing that I absolutely believe in, because I cannot read three unknown languages, I absolutely believe that God said in Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. Paul used that same verse, 1 Corinthians 14, said with men of other tongues. He now pluralized it. Because I just don't think the English people in the world have the Word of God, the correct Word of God. I think the Spanish people do. And I think there are other languages. God promised that He would speak in more than just one language. And I believe that when I go to Kenya, there's a man standing next to me who takes my English words and speaks them in Swahili. I pray for that man every time I preach over there because I want him to have the gift of the interpretation of tongues. And where can he get that from? He gets it from the Holy Ghost, so that he can correctly interpret what exactly I'm saying. That's what I believe. And I will not live without my Bible being published for me in English so that I can read and know every single word of God. Not only was pure, but it is still pure. Can I hear God's people say amen? Now, let me switch keys here just for a minute. Oh, that's pretty cool. Did it automatically for me. I didn't know it would do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to get this because I've got about 11 minutes, okay? And I'm going to help you with something. I don't like people who think they're better than me, because I've had that. Went to a Bible college and they all thought they were better than me. And I didn't like it. It didn't last long. I don't like it when there are people in churches who think they are smarter than me or they have longer degrees. I dropped out of two Bible colleges. Okay? Never got a degree. I learned just enough to make me a danger to myself and others in 3 years of Bible college. It's kind of like somebody who watches someone give CPR. I don't want that person on me. Okay? I want the guy. When we flew over here from Minneapolis to Fargo, my wife said, see those two pilots? What are they, what, 15, 16 years old? They were popping zits. Okay? And I'm going, God, I love you. Remember that. She's nervous. Then an old guy got up in the cabin. She said, there you go. Now I'm better. Okay? Because this guy knows how to fly and ditch it. Okay? If need be. He got that guy that ditched that plane in the Hudson River. He had the experience. He knew it. Okay? But anyway, here's what I'm saying. I don't like people who think they are better than me because they have longer degrees, or they have this, or they have that, or they speak with these tongues, or they have this elevated knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, by the way. I don't like people like that. Because I've always dealt with me being a scumbag, and I still do. And that's who I am. I want you to know that. Chris Pinto is. And Mike Hoggard is. And Carl Tykrib is. And Paul McGuire is. Okay? We're rotten, filthy, dirty, nasty, hell-deserving sinners that have been saved. We put our salvation pants on just like you do. Okay? And here's what I'm going to help you with, okay? The book, this is what I tried to tell you this weekend. The book makes the body. Simple. The DNA. I don't have doggy DNA in me. Okay? I don't scratch my ear with my foot. I don't do that. I don't have monkey DNA in me. I don't have chicken DNA in me. I don't have anything like that. The book is what makes the body. And if the book then is different and Chris, you did, I came here to hear you because you helped me understand that the Catholic Church is the way the Catholic Church is because of what their books and their encyclicals tell them. And we don't read it. When the papal bull comes out, we say, that's a bunch of papal bull. Amen. I've been working on that one for a couple days too, okay? We don't read the encyclicals from the Pope. We don't think he's God on earth, the vicar of Christ. We don't think he's, well, we do think he's another Christ, but we don't listen to him. We don't regard his authority because he has no authority over you. The authority over you is this right here. This is the head, and it's what tells the body, and it's what makes the body. So look at this. Hebrews 10:5. I love this. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So think of this in two ways, because Christ has two comings to the earth. The first time, the Holy Ghost entered into Mary, and she conceived the literal, physical, arms, legs, fingers, eyes of Jesus Christ. He was born as a baby, grew up to be a man. When he died on the cross, that was real flesh, that was real blood that came out of him. He was as real as you and I are in this room. So God, at Christ's first coming, made the body of Jesus Christ that hung on the cross. Christ is coming again. So, he says, a body hast thou prepared me. God, right now, is in the process of preparing the body for the second appearance of Jesus Christ. And it looks like everybody in this room and everybody watching online, because you and I are just like a baby forming in the womb, where at 2 weeks it doesn't have any fingers. But at 5 months, it has fingers. At 2 weeks, it doesn't have a beating heart. At 5 months, it has a beating heart and it has a brain. And just as the baby in the womb is formed from nothing into something, so right now, God is forming in the womb of this world, actually Jerusalem, because we're born from heaven. He is forming in heaven the body of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then look what he said. In verse 7, then said I, the very thing that Jesus said before he left heaven and came to this earth, he says it twice. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And what God is establishing here for you, and he's quoting from the Old Testament. So you got two witnesses, two bodies, two comings of Jesus Christ. He's telling you that the body of Jesus Christ is formed by the book. So if this church over here in Moorhead, if they're not using this book, the body that is forming over there is not the body of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Those of you who've ever put together a barbecue grill, and you got a book that was written by the Chinese guy who manufactured it, and it's written in Chinese, you can't put it together, can you? Have you ever opened the box with the barbecue grill in it, got the book to show you how to put together the lawnmower? It will not put together the grill. See how much sense this makes. Does Sharia law matter if we bring it into America? We don't want Sharia law in America. Amen. We are people of a different book. Constitution and Bill of Rights. They want to bring in another book to rule over us. I will fight to the death. Amen. Live free or die. Amen. That's who we are. Amen. I'll do the same thing for this. Now let me help you with something, okay? Then we'll get out of here. Because I hear people say, well, I'm not as close to God as Dr. So-and-so up there who runs the college. I'm not as close to God as the people I listen to on the Christian radio. I'm not as close to God as the guys on TBN. I'm just not. They hear things from God because they're closer to God. And there's teachings now that are moving in. Been around for a long time. See, the Pope says he hears from God because he's closest to God. And that's why he writes all that junk. Okay, let me explain something to you. Paul used this expression that the body is joined together by joints and bands. Okay, he's writing this 2,000 years ago, and now we know what that is and how it works. Tendons and ligaments. Tendons is what joins muscle to bone. Ligaments is what joins bone to bone. Does everybody understand the difference? Okay, now here's where I'm going with this. When you hear the teaching, and somebody sent me an email a couple weeks ago and said, our pastor, we go to a fundamental church, our pastor got up and preached a message that the people who tithe and are close to the pastor and they're there for all the services and they do all of the things that church people are supposed to do, they're like an inner circle that God created. They're going to get things from God that nobody else is. And the people who come only on Sunday morning, they're not going to get, and they're not near as much as the people up close. And I hate that stuff. And I'm going to show you how it really works. Okay? Here's my head. So this would be Christ. Okay? Here's the head. This is the mouth, the brain, everything, the eyes, the ears. This is the head is Christ. Okay? It might be said that my right shoulder is closer to Christ. Therefore, it's going to get more. Then let's say, who in here's got a little toe on their right foot? Okay? How often do you pay attention to the little toe in your right foot? It is probably the ugliest thing that you own. Agreed. Huh? Agreed? It's got, for some unknown reason, God decided to laugh and give us a toenail on there. It's awful. Okay? The toe, that little toe, it could be said, is not as close to the head as my shoulder is. It could be said that. But if my little toe, if the head wants me to move, let's say, 3 steps forward, the head is in this position here. Where is my right shoulder? Same place. Where is my little toe? Same place. You know how that works? It's joined together. When that old song, the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone, when they wrote that song, they knew exactly how it worked, and they were just ignorant people, but they knew exactly how it worked. Because my little toe is connected by way of a ligament to the bones in my foot, which are connected by ligaments to my legs, which are connected by ligaments to my hips, connected by ligaments to my spine, connected by ligaments to my neck, connected to my head. So if my little toe, which, does anybody know what the little toe is good for? It's the ugliest part of your body. My dad lost one to diabetes. He never walked the same after that, and he couldn't stand up for very long. Because your little toe has more duty to it and can do more and can hold up more weight than your whole hand can. Because as I'm standing here, my inner ear, which is a gyroscope, is telling me how straight up I'm standing. And it's automatically sending a signal to my little toe on my right foot to exert pressure down to keep me balanced. Okay? And we're supposed to stand as Christians, right? Stand fast for the liberty. Remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw? How did Jesus destroy it? He destroyed the toes. Because when he destroyed the toes, what happened to the rest of the image? So this nonsense that you people out in the pews can't get the things from God that the people up on the podium and the platform and the doctors and so-and-so can get is nonsense. It's garbage. It's baloney. It's papal bull. You have justice. Let me tell you something according to the Constitution. You have just as much right to keep and bear arms as police officers do. Amen. You have just as much right to keep and bear arms as army men do. You have just as much right to read, defend your soul, and go after the enemy with your Bible as anybody up on any platform behind any pulpit does. Don't let evil men take that away from you, because we are all joined together by and Jesus is the ligament. He is the tendon. He is the one that joins us all together. Okay? Now I'm going to give you one more thing and I'm going to shut up. Okay? Okay? Here we go. Love you, sister. Okay? These guys have been coming here. I don't know that I agree with everything you guys believe in. I don't think you guys should agree with everything that I say or believe in. Chris and I probably, if we were to talk, we'd probably say, Chris, I don't believe that, Mike. Cut that stuff out. I don't believe that stuff. But I know he's a brother. Okay? So here's the thing. I want to ask you a question. Did you ever wonder how a bone, which is a rock, was attached to a soft tissue muscle? Did you ever ask the question how that works? Okay? Does it wrap around, tie itself in a knot? Does it use staples, screws? Doctors do, because they can't do what is designed in this body. Let me show you how this. This will help your marriage. Because husbands and wives don't agree on it. She's laughing, and he's getting nervous. Look at him. Look at him. Body language is everything, okay? You two don't agree on everything, do you? No way. You betcha. Okay? You're in love, and you're married, and you want to stay that way. right? You want, she is now, listen to this, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hear it? Hear the language? Flesh is the muscles and the ligaments, and the bone is the bone. And she is connected to him, and he's connected to her. How does that work? Because even though, let's say, Tim Rubis and I may not agree, okay? Brother Howard back there and I, we may not agree on everything, but I know these guys, and we're brethren, and we're connected. And when, listen, when Christ comes to take Tim up, I'm going with him because I'm connected to him. Amen? You follow me? So let me, I studied this out 2 weeks ago and I went, that is so cool. Let me run this. How is the Old Testament connected to the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four books. So here's what the doctors found out, that a ligament is connected to the bone. The bone and the ligament, when they're going to join together, it's a four-stage process. I'm not making that up. The first process for the ligament, which is soft tissue, is that as it approaches the bone, stage one is the ligament itself, soft tissue. Stage two is that soft tissue starts being transformed to more like a cartilage material. It gets a little bit harder. Stage three is that material starts taking in minerals. You know what minerals are? Rocks. Stones. The more you read the stone that the builders rejected, the more you become like the stone that the builders rejected. Does that make sense to everybody? That's why you ought to read your Bible. Then, that's stage three. Stage four is the ligament now bears no difference to the bone. They're one and the same. So in a marriage, even though you don't agree on everything, and I don't have every square inch of my bone is not covered with ligaments and tendons, is it? But it is connected at exactly the right spots to make this body do what it's doing right now. See that? They don't agree on everything and won't. But on the places where it really matters, he started to become more like her, and she started to become more like him. And when we wanted to be saved, we may not have understood every part of our Bible. We may not have thought every way like Jesus thinks. But over time, see, he came down from heaven to be like us so that we could meet him in the air to be like him. Isn't that cool? So you and I in this room will not agree on everything yet. But in all the ways that God wants us connected, we are. And I promise you, when I go, you're going. My wife and I agreed this week because we lost a good man out of our church. And he fought cancer so hard for one reason. And that is, he didn't want to leave his wife. And I went home one day, come from the hospital, and I said, Lisa, I don't want to do that. I was electrocuted 10 years ago and was going to die under my house. And I said, God, I don't want to leave my wife and kids. And it let go just like that. I'm not making that up. And Lisa said, I don't either. And she don't like some of the stuff I do at home. Don't ask me how I know she doesn't like all the stuff I do at home. But you know what I heard out of her the other day, Chris? She told a joke. And I went, she got that from me. She's telling my jokes. And the places that it matter were connected. She became more like me. I became more like her. And we both decided that we'd just like to just go together. Amen? That's how you know you're in the body. It's when the other members of the body, you want them to go when you go. And I hear God's people say, amen.